Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, well, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk. Movies, video games, comic books, TV. I like to sit down with professionals from all of those industries and more to talk pop culture. Maybe they're directors or writers, or they work in video games, or they're actors. Maybe they make comic books or write music. Whatever it is, I love talking stories with them. And that's why I started this show way back in 2006. This upcoming episode is no different. I sit down with filmmaker Angel Gracia, and we talk about his brand new movie that's out this weekend called How the Gringo Stole Christmas. It stars George Lopez, so we share some George stories. We talk about some indie filmmaking. We talk about filmmaking on a tight budget, a tight schedule, but just getting it done. I loved talking to Angel. He is coming back on Geekscape very soon. We've been trading the texts, talking about making it happen in the new year. And I'm super excited about it. Sorry you guys did not get an episode last week. The holidays hit, and I figured it was time to kick up the feet a little bit. You guys have been getting some fast and furious Geekscape episodes. We did the Loki Season 2 coverage. We did the Marvels coverage. That is in the feed right behind this episode. We had Matt Lillard and Bill Rehor on to talk role-playing games. We have had some amazing episodes, and I was burnt out. I was like, let me do some writing, some running, and some movie watching during Thanksgiving and get myself back on track, because it's going to be a sprint to the end of the year. We're not going to let up after this. We have LA Comic Con coming up this weekend, and then the following weekend, on December 8th, we have the 12-plus-hour Geekscape live stream that Matt Kelly's been putting together. Geekscape will have an episode in there, so you got to be looking for the schedule. And I'm really, really, really excited to see what we can do to raise money for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and just see all the different shows that are involved and what they've got for the programming this year. Matt really puts his all into it, so it would be awesome if you're listening to this right now. On audio, this is an audio-only episode. It'd be amazing if you say, you know what? I'm going to go check out the Geekscape YouTube page or the Facebook page or the Twitch, and I'm going to search those out, and I'm going to put a little reminder, hit a little bell button for that Geekscape holiday live stream that is happening on December 8th. It's going to be live. Almost every show on the network will be present for it. And we're going to try and raise a lot of money for Big Brothers Big Sisters. And we're going to have a lot of fun, and you'll be a part of it. And it's a great way to kind of start ringing in the end of the year. It's not the end of the year, though, because if you're listening to this right now, it's because you subscribe to the Geekscape podcast, you're going to get 3 panels from LA Comic Con. You're going to get a Geekscape Live at LA Comic Con. You're also going to have me talking to screenwriters about the first time they sold their scripts, what went into selling those scripts, and how they kept selling scripts throughout. I've put that panel together. It's going to be a lot of fun. I also have a panel on putting together independent comics, kickstarting or Indiegogo, or maybe you just put together a comic with your friends and you took it to independent publishers and found a way to get up on, into the comic book profession that way. That's going to be an awesome panel. That is all going to come right here in the Geekscape feed. So subscribe, share with your friends, tell them that this is a fun show that has some amazing episodes. This one that I'm about to share with you guys is awesome. And I just want to not oversell it. It's a shorter episode. It's a 20-minute conversation. Maybe that's a good thing, because I could have talked to Angel for a while. And maybe you're asking, like, hey, wait, Jonathan, hold up. You said you watched movies over Thanksgiving. What did you watch? I'm so glad you maybe asked. Heidi has never seen RoboCop. So it's not really a Heidi type of movie, but she was open to it. She'd seen Paul Verhoeven's Starship Troopers because our friend Casper is the lead in that. And also former Geekscape guest Jake Busey. So Heidi was in the Starship Troopers and she realized that it was a little bit more than just like a bloody sci-fi movie, right? Like Starship Troopers is great. Paul Verhoeven sci-fi movies are amazing. They have the commentary. They got everything going on. There's a lot more going on than just, you know, blood and guts and sci-fi. And so we watched RoboCop and she thought that was great. And it's such a good movie. The original 87 RoboCop is so good. But then it was time to watch a Heidi movie. So we watched While You Were Sleeping, the Sandra Bullock, like romantic comedy where she falls for Peter Gallagher. He falls on the train tracks. She works at the subway in Chicago. She rescues him. He's in a coma and, she kind of gets like, it's like a mistaken identity. They think that she's the fiance, and then Bill Pullman comes in as the brother, and she actually falls for Bill Pullman. No spoilers, but it is a really awesome, really awesome movie. Maybe it's something you want to watch with your parents over Christmas, but we put it on because it was a Christmas-themed movie. It takes place during Christmas, and it's just a really good classic romantic comedy. It's really great, and so, Sandra Bullock's never been cuter. She's cute and everything, but this is like really peak Sandra Bullock and Bill Pullman, a year before Bill Pullman saved us from the aliens as the president of the United States in Independence Day. And then, of course, I had to show Heidi my favorite Stanley Kubrick movie because she's really into period piece films. So my favorite is Barry Lyndon. You might be like, wait, hold up. It's not 2001. It's not The Shining. It's not Full Metal Jacket. No, no. My favorite Stanley Kubrick movie is Barry Lyndon. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's incredible. And every time I read about the making of Barry Lyndon and how particular Stanley Kubrick was with making this film, from the production to the story to the performances, I love Barry Lyndon even more because I think it's perfect. I love the narration. I love every shot. I love every moment. I love the story. I love Barry Lyndon. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you're a longtime Geekscape listener and you're like, wait, I never knew that. Barry Lyndon was Jonathan's favorite Stanley Kubrick film. It is. I love it. I can watch it anytime. Did I just stay home though? No, Heidi and I went to see Next Goal Wins, the new Taika Waititi movie. And it has Michael Fassbender. True story, based on a true story at least, where the American Samoan soccer team has basically been disgraced from because of the worst loss in international play ever. I guess they were pretty much shut out 30 something to nothing to Australia one year, and on the brink of basically being folded up by the American Soccer Association or whatever federation or whatever is in charge, they send a coach down there to try and just make something of this American Samoa team. And it was a really sweet movie. I thought it was a really wonderful movie. I don't know what's going on with fandom and cinephiles and Taika right now, but I guess you make Thor Love and Thunder and suddenly it's not cool to say you love Taika Waititi. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm rewatching the new episodes of Our Flag Means Death. I love it. I've seen every episode of What We Do in the Shadows. I love it. I'm a Taika Waititi fan. And I loved Next Goal Wins. So that's another one that maybe with your parents or, you know, you want to get like a nice, warm, feel-good movie. You know, maybe I'm going to go ahead and go in the vein of like Cool Runnings. Remember the John Candy Jamaican bobsled team classic? It's right in there, but it obviously has the Taika Waititi charm and spin. And I love his writing and I love the performances he gets. So 4 super positive recommendations. Maybe you've seen all those movies. Maybe you've seen none of those movies, but that's what I watched when I was watching movies over Thanksgiving. Before Thanksgiving, I watched a movie called How the Gringo Stole Christmas. And the director, my new friend, Angel Gracia, came on the show to talk about it with me. And here is that conversation. Enjoy, Geekscapists.
Yeah.
Angel, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Look at that guitar in the background. You going to jam out for us here?
This is the Gringo bass. It's signed by the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I got to do something. George is a guitar player.
He's a guitar player. I've been on Zooms with George.
Yeah, a very good guitar player. And I was like, okay, I needed, this is my therapy. So I play bass as therapy. And I went to the guitar center going crazy one night. And I saw this thing and I go, that's it. That's the Gringo bass, the Grinch bass. And so I got that and I got them all to sign it. And then we jammed a little bit on set. So that became, so from now on, every movie I'm gonna get a color bass and have it signed.
In a bass that's, the and the color is based on like the what the movie is, what the movie is about.
Well, the figure, the Gringo, Grinch.
See, I clearly wore green to talk some Gringo.
Yeah, and there
I'm,
you go.
Exactly. I'm half Gringo, so why not? I whenever people ask me about my Spanish, my mother's from Guadalajara. When people ask me about my Spanish and I grew up in Austin, I say I speak Gringlish. Or I describe myself as a Texican, something like that, you know. But out here in LA, George specifically, like we got Chicano. And when you've been on Zoom with George, I remember getting on a Zoom with George Geekscape, so I'm taking a little bit behind the scenes of my own filmmaking and talking to George about projects. And I love George. And I saw him a few months ago on the picket line. We can talk about that stuff now. I was nervous because when I first moved to LA, I loved George as a Latino. You know, I was a delivery guy delivering scripts to different places for post houses, this and that. And I delivered a script to George. I don't think I've ever told this story on the podcast Geeks Cabus, but we're talking film here. And I got to know all about Angel and his journey from Spain to Miami and all this. But real quick, late one night, I had to deliver a script to George Lopez's house for a Christmas movie. It was a Christmas movie for a TV company called Von Zernick Certner that makes TV movies. And one night I go out there and I'm like, yeah, he's not going to answer the door. He'll have somebody answer the door, right? It's George Lopez. He's got a TV show on. And he answers the door and looking up to him so long, you know, coming out of high school, college, this and that, and not many Latinos being in the industry, I pretty much threw the script at him and ran. And so, fast forward to a few years ago, getting George like real behind the scenes for us Geekscapists here on the filmmaking versus the Geekscape that we do here. I get on a Zoom with George and my producer's not on it yet. The siren's telling me like, let's talk about your films, Jonathan, more about Angel. We'll get into it. And I'd written a letter to George saying, hey, this is actually the second script I've given you. And this was the one I wrote. And it meant a lot to me that he wanted to Zoom with me and possibly be in my film. And I remember getting on the Zoom with him and my producer wasn't on there and he just looks at you and, you know, he can be intense. And he goes, that was a beautiful script you wrote, man. So immediately like that guitar you've got in the background, Angel, I'm calling you Angel or Angel, but I see this guitar just like George, he's got a Lower Merion 33 jersey in the background. It's Kobe Bryant's high school jersey. And I can talk basketball with anybody. Like my like pitching tactic is to enter the offices and look for basketball, right? Because I can just BS and start.
I latched onto his guitars. He had Eddie Van Halen's guitar.
He's got the Kiss stuff in the back, and he's got like all the like 70s rock stuff, early 80s rock stuff in the back. That's his lifeblood. But I went basketball, and then I went rock, and then we got into the talks, and we got talking to movies, and you know, we traded emails a few weeks ago, and he's a wonderful guy. Well, did you have a similar experience bringing him onto this film? I mean, talk about putting this thing together.
Yeah, I mean, it was brief because it's also a man of few words, actually, surprisingly. See. I thought it'd be just very talkative, and he just gets on and tells you a few things. Then he makes the funny faces that he makes, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then you go, okay, that's my cue to like move on. And but I think it was simple because I think he identified himself with the character from the background culture and having his own daughter who one day brought home for not for Christmas, but brought home a surprise, which is her white boyfriend. And that was the conversation starter. And I think he just was like, oh yeah, I can do this. Right. And so I think that's how he felt identified with it. And for me, it was the only choice really. Mm-hmm. So it's a difficult, it's like being your Malkovich. You gotta have your Malkovich. This is almost like being, you know, George Lopez's Gringo Who Stole Christmas. Gotta have the guy in the thing because of the character, the humor, the background, the whole experience is just really being a comedian, right? So you have an actor and a comedian built into one. This is really gold.
It's a real thing to Geekscape, especially with Mexican Americans. Like y'all know my wife Heidi from watching the show or listening to the show, but her nickname in our circles is La Gringuita. Like, I married La Gringuita, and it's a term of affection sometimes, but sometimes it's like a cultural demarcation, right? Like especially with a movie set like East LA, you know, it's separated by the five here in Los Angeles. Geekscape is when you cross into East LA, it becomes very, very, very Chicano, and you can sense it, and the neighborhood changes, everything changes. And so I'll go ahead and, like, this is a remake almost of Look Who's Coming to Dinner, right? Like the classic sort of movie where kind of like a fish out of water comes to dinner, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And also Meet the Parents.
It's Meet the Parents, Look Who's Coming to Dinner, the old Sidney Poitier movie. And I think it's great to do it with a Latino cast, because it's really been done white and African American.
Yeah.
And Caucasian, and here we got the Latino version of it, and I love it. And then mixing it with a Christmas movie, what is that all about? I mean, obviously we got the heavy Catholicism working on our side, but is it similar when, you know, obviously you spent time in the States and in Miami and this and that, but is it a similar type of approach when it's Hispanic, and then all of a sudden now you're taking in a Latino culture, right? And they're not the same Geekscapes, right? Like, they're both Spanish speaking, but how much did you have to, like, you've been in LA, you've been in filmmaking, like, how much did it take for you to kind of like entrench yourself in that culture and be able to speak?
When you live in LA, you have to go through that because you see it everywhere. So now if you're in New York, I used to live in New York, you'll have more of a East Coast
Dominican,
Puerto Rican combination, yeah, right, with Italian mix. And then if you're in Miami, I lived in Miami, so you got the Cuban heavy influence, a lot of South American, but in a way, And if you're in Germany, you have the Turkish. I used to say, those are the Mexicans. Those are the Mexicans.
I say that about Armenians too. I say that to Armenian people. They're like, because they think I'm Armenian. And I said, no, guys, I'm Mexican. But there's so many similarities.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. But Geekscapists who aren't familiar, like, for real, we got our own grocery stores, we speak our own language, and we got a huge sense of machismo. We all have facial hair by the time we're 12. Like, it's very similar.
Yeah.
You know?
And for me, it's just basically being always myself a fish out of water. I can do this all day in any of those places. You just get to a town and find out who is that other culture that migrated there that is accepted and not accepted. And I was saying this to a friend. It's like, the closer we're together, we are quicker to find difference to criticize, right? So if you're in Spain, it's Barcelona, Madrid. If you're in Italy, it's Rome, Milan. If you're in the UK, well, it's the UK versus the Scots and the Irish. If you're in the US, it's East Coast, West Coast, South America. I mean, you know, the quicker you see someone with a different accent, a different way of dressing, a different music, or right away criticize, right? But you don't criticize the ones you don't see, but they're there and they're going through the same experience. So to me, the Christmas is just the catalyst that brings, almost forces the family together. We must do this at this particular time. It's a mandate, whether you follow.
Family is the protagonist. You either survive or you don't.
Yeah, this is happening. And sometimes it's a strange family member you haven't seen. You don't know why he's there. Or sometimes, you know, someone might bring the wrong boyfriend to the party. And this happens everywhere. So this particular experience belongs to the writer, Ezequiel Martinez, who is a Chicano born and raised in East LA, and he pretty much writes about his experiences, his friends and family. So it's all authentic from that point of view. And all I did is now adapt it to these other actors who have similar experiences while keeping the, you know, the Chicano sort of overall atmosphere.
And I want to, I mean, there's so much stuff. I mean, I was so excited to have you on the show, Angel. Like, I flew home to get on this Zoom with you because I really wanted to talk to you. And there's so much more we can talk about. I really want to talk about things like Creative Tank, your agency, and that does film television work and this and that. But
there's no follow up because I'm sure we're on the clock. But we'll just do a sequel.
Yeah, yeah. We'll find each other on social. Sometimes I find the guests and I start talking on social. Sorry about that, Katrina and Tatum over at Katrina Juan PR, who I love and I've been working with them for years. But we'll find each other and we'll talk shop on filmmaking after this. But
yeah, we can do one about the details and stuff.
I want to talk about one here. Well, the thing is, like, where'd you shoot the movie? Because clearly, as somebody who lives in Los Angeles, where you shoot the movie, I love you, man. But like, East LA is such a specific place. But because of production, you know, realities, it's not always easy to shoot there. So talk about like adapting East LA to possibly a different location. What was the reality of that?
Well, I wish I had shot it in East LA. Now, I shot in East LA, the driving shots, establishing shots, all that
stuff. You shoot some Beverly Hills. I've seen some,
All that stuff, But the movie was shot in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Which is just about, like,
I was going to say Georgia, because obviously there's a big pipeline in Georgia as well. But all those tax incentives Geekscape has created a real, like, incentive in reality for filmmakers. And it's hard. Like, you got to really bend with that stuff.
And talk, let me tell about... you go to Jackson, Mississippi, you're going to do Chicano stuff. You got your work cut out. Just trying to find a lowrider. They don't know how to spell lowrider.
They got the pickup trucks. They're up high.
What the hell are you talking about, right? So our scout went on, and he had to go to New Orleans, where there was some club of lowriders. And they weren't the lowriders you used to, you know, the expensive ones with the shiny paint and all that stuff. No. They're lowriders, they're a different kind of lowriders. And so I saw the pictures, and it was like, no way, no way, no way, Jose. And then there was this thing.
There's no Jose. You're not talking to Jose.
John. So, and then there was this thing.
Jim.
Jim. And then there was this thing, and I'm going, wait a second. What is that? The one we used. And it was like, it was almost like there was no other choice, right? So this one was the only one to be had, but he also had a funny character to it. And since the Vatos are played not necessarily the dangerous, tough guys that you would expect, but rather the funny. Opposite, then he kind of fit perfectly. But I would say I got lucky, because we couldn't afford bringing one from East LA.
Yeah.
It's a very low-budget movie shot in a limited time frame in a place where there's no lowriders or any of that Mexican culture of any kind, right? I was like on Amazon ordering stuff. Like Santa things. And I mean, I was like Amazon every day. We can't find that. We can't find this. We can't do this. The Amazon guys who coming in, you know, with the boxes, they knew exactly where to go and drop the boxes.
This is such a real conversation. You know what I mean? If you just flipped it to Granada Hills, they got them everywhere. You know what I mean? Like,
it was really difficult. And then when I got back to LA, it's like, okay, now we're cutting. Let me see what I need. I need this transition, that shot and all that stuff. So, so I jump on a van and I go, let's go and grab these things. But they're like tiny crew grabbing shots, drive-bys, my own drone flying around. You know, it's a low budget film. So we just made it that way. But the flexibility of, I just can stand right here in this corner and shoot this thing, and no one's going to bug me. So I shot East LA like a documentary. You know, I just went and shot and launched the drone and had warnings on the device. Warning, you're getting too close to the police station or the jail or something or the other in downtown. And I just said, well, I might lose the drone in this one, but here we go. So I'm flying the drone above, you know, downtown where you have, there's the police station, 20 helicopters, the jail, the penitentiary and the other thing, and a bunch of electrical wires. So I'm just flying through all that stuff. It never got shut down. So those are the establishing shots.
And Angel, as somebody who comes out of music videos, because like I spent the 2000s, I did two music videos this year too. Like I love music videos. I love the being very specific with visuals, and you're shooting your own drone stuff. You're not just pulling this stuff off of like stock, right? It was really important to you to go out there and shoot that stuff and add that flavor back, because I'm guessing when you shoot Mississippi for East LA, you're conscious of having to like put some of that LA back into it, and you really want to be hands-on with that stuff.
Yeah.
How important was it, and like what was your relationship with like your crew and your DP, where you're taking that music video background and you're like, okay, we got to put some of this spice back into it?
Yeah, well, I'm a hands-on because I'm a director DP, so I know exactly what
Hold on, you did the DP too?
No, I had a Broofy did the photography, but I have a built-in DP inside of me.
Yeah.
And then, so basically, you know, I know specifically what I need, and I'm back into the situation, what I can or cannot do. In fact, this thing was shot on two Blackmagic Pro 6Ks, as opposed to the big Alexas and all that. Because I wanted small equipment I can have anywhere in any locations quickly. I wanted to have two of them. The crazy aunt character Carmen is shooting on an iPhone. That's my camera C.
Yeah, I shot a music video for a band down in South Central recently called The Paranoias, Mexican American Boys, and I shot that all on iPhone 14. It looks great.
Yeah, and then I push used it. My Fujis. I got a couple of Fujis, XT3, XT4, and I shoot a lot of stuff on these cameras with the Ninja 5. So all the establishing shots I shot on Fujis and on a drone that is you can buy at Best Buy.
Yeah. And you got this. I mean, the one thing about the Blackmagic ski scape is really getting in the weeds. Man, I want Angel, you're coming back. We're going to talk film and we're going to talk about your production.
We're going to do a geek out on film.
We're going to geek out. But I mean, I mean, were you deciding daylight a lot in this film, not just for the Christmas setting, but because those Blackmagics, when they get into shadow and they get into some of that stuff, they're really like, they get temperamental, right? They fall off on the digital a lot. And I've done music videos of Blackmagic, and we go around a corner to a shaded alley or something, and suddenly I'm like, whoa, we got to reset. Yeah,
you're like an under $2,000 camera, so your peaks and valleys are you know, if you overexpose, that thing becomes just a white spot. So, you know, Da Vinci to the rescue, After Effects.
So, for sure.
Yeah, for so sure. There's pluses and minuses. I don't know how I feel about it. I was a bit disappointed, like you say. But at the same time, I had 6K, so I was able to do a lot, right? So this is 4K. We ended up in 4K. With the 6K, I'm able to pan and scan and do a few more things. It's just that you need to have more control. If you're going to work with those cameras, you need to have more lighting power than I had to compensate and keep everything balanced out. So it actually ends up being more expensive. What you save in the camera, you end up spending in the equipment to compensate. So you don't get too hot. You stay within the range of your stop.
You're also racing the clock on the, like you said, you have a schedule to keep. And sometimes not having
shot
a big build.
Movie. Yeah. How many days?
I'm going to guess. I mean, for Mississippi, I'm going to guess you shot it in 11 or 12.
You're a smart guy. You know what's up.
I've been doing this for a while.
That was three weeks of which I lost one day in electrical storms, end of the world type thing. And I lost a bunch of time on and off because we had no power for one of the weeks and it slows us down. So I think altogether we probably shot it in 13 days of actual shooting plus a couple of weekends in East LA.
Of course. That's aggressive, man. That's super aggressive. And geekscapists who think that filmmaking is all Marvel and filmmaking is all big studio stuff. Like, no, this is what we were fighting for. And when we went on strike, is like, you know, we're filmmakers. We're not going to be filmmakers. And it gets hard. And you're up against the realities of production, the reality of economics. Sometimes you got to shoot Mississippi for East LA. But
and it's 110 degrees.
East LA hit a couple 110 too, but it's muggy over there. It's like swampy 110 degrees.
The thing about those temperatures is that they're okay for a moment when you get in and out of the car, but not for 12 hours continuously under the sun when you're, say, on the soccer field.
Yeah.
I had never had people faint of heat exhaustion on any project in 30 years. I've had about 4 people fall to the ground on this one.
Brother, that's getting scary.
Now, Lopez and I would joke. He would go, look at the white boys falling like flies. We just working our tan.
I'm from Austin, and Austin gets like that. Austin, Texas. And Geekscape is to put it in context, just what a hilarious and awesome dude George is. George has a bunch of restaurants here in Los Angeles. And one of them was down by the airport, South Bay, somewhere in there. And these Chingon restaurants, that's kind of his brand. And a car went through a stop sign, and it was in the news. It was in the news. Like a car goes into George Lopez's restaurant. Of course, it was in the news because he's a high profile celebrity who has a restaurant. And so, of course, like I send a message, be like, hey, George, my producer, I'm like, hey, George, we just heard that like a car went into your restaurant, ran a stop sign. Like, is everything good? Like, everybody all right? And he sends us back a message without skipping a beat. This message comes within 10 minutes. And it's a photo of a truck halfway sticking out of this restaurant. And he goes, all good, just installed a drive-thru.
Extremely quick on the draw. He was surprising me all the time. Like, even when he's off camera, so I'm shooting, you know, over here with these characters, and he's there reading lines, and he'll just say crazy stuff. And I go, turn the camera, say that again. Like, I must get that on camera. You know, he always adds some banter at the end of each line.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, can you say that again? Let's grab that one. And then you're editing, and you're, damn, I got to choose between this one or that one. It's like when he tells Leif at the soccer field, hey, One Direction. And then another take is, you're going to have to get take off your braces for this one. And then get him a helmet. I mean, like, it just, which one of those did you choose, right? You know, it makes it difficult.
Well, Geekscapists, we're going to have Angel back. Angel or Angel? Come and say this.
Angel, one. Angel, Angelito. Angle. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
I also answer to my social security number.
Just we're not giving that out over here on Geekscape, but we're going to have you back. All right.
Look forward to it. Let's do a geek out on movie making.
Let's do it. Geekscapists, hey, thanks for joining us here. And we'll talk to you soon next time, okay?
Muchas gracias.
También. Adios.
Bye.
How great was Angel? I mean, it was almost immediate. You heard it. You heard it right there in the conversation becoming filmmaking buds on the Geekscape podcast. Angel's going to be back very soon in the new year, and I'm super, super excited to geek out about filmmaking with Angel. He's just great, and go support him. Please, it means so much to me that you support the people who come on Geekscape and take the time to share their stories with you. I get your DMs. I get your emails. I don't know how you reach out to me, jonathan@geekscape.net. Find me on the socials. And you tell me, like, hey, I'm about to check this movie out. Like, I'm going to go see this one. Or this weekend, you told me that to go see this movie. It was really cool, and I love the filmmaker. Like, that means so much. And you think I don't share that? I do share that with the filmmakers. I do take screen grabs of your DMs raving about the movies or saying how great they were on Geekscape, and I do share it with them. But why? Because it just freaking feels good to be appreciated. And I think Angel was great, and I cannot wait to have him back. Geekscape, it's not the end of the year yet. We have a lot in front of us. LA Comic Con, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. 3 Geekscape panels. One of them is a Geekscape Live. I don't even know who's on it with me. I mean, I know some of the panelists, but guys, you got to subscribe to the podcast to know who's on there and to kind of get the Geekscape take on LA Comic Con. What happened? What was the cool stuff? What were the cool things people bought? What were the awesome moments? Who were the cool celebrities? You got to listen to the podcast by subscribing to it in order to get that episode. And you're going to get 2 panels after that. Professionals talking about selling screenplays and how they did it. And how their careers kind of gone from there and how they stayed in the game. And then how to start your independent comic, Kickstarter. Maybe there's Zoop. That's a new one. Indiegogo. Maybe you just start taking pen to paper and making your comic in the hopes that something like a Boom or a Dark Horse or an Image will care about it. I've got people who've brought comics to those companies, and they are on that panel with me. So this is a great place to be subscribed if you love that stuff. And obviously, December 8th, the Geekscape holiday live stream. Do not overlook it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be rocking. And I want you to be a part of it. So subscribe to our YouTube, our Facebook, our Twitch channels, and you're going to be notified that on December 8th, we're going to go very early in the morning, start it up. We're going to go very late at night, and we're going to try and do a lot of good with the holiday spirit and raising money. And we're going to try and really, really make the holidays awesome for some kids through Big Brothers and Big Sisters, because that's what ultimately Geekscape is about, is community and bringing some positivity to this geek space and to each other and all of that. So if you want to give back even the smallest way, just write a review for this podcast on any podcatcher you find. The 5 stars really help us out. The reviews really help us out. Or just hit that share button. Send it to your friends. Be like, hey, Geekscape's a lot of fun. The dude rambles. Jonathan rambles a lot. But Geekscape's a lot of fun. And we're real geeks. And we really love this stuff. So, till next time, Geekscapists. I want to say I love you. Geekscape forever. Don't hate, create. And all that stuff. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.